I don't want to say too much. I just want you to hear a man of God. Sam Jayakrishna.
Thank you. Good morning. And welcome once again. If you're visiting with us, a very special welcome to you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to come together as God's people. It's good to fellowship one with another, to have relationship, to, you know, to just be there in God's presence. And I just enjoy. Every time I come here, I'm blessed. Are you blessed every time you come here? I am blessed every time I'm here. And when I'm not here, I miss this place. It's like missing home. You know, it's, they say no place like home. And this is home for us. And this is where we really meet with God, where we get to know one another and where we are blessed coming together. So we know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Who's heard of Billy Graham? A famous, very famous, fantastic, powerful speaker. And he was preaching and he was ministering in a certain town. And he wanted to post a letter. And so he was walking down the street. He didn't know where the post office was. So he asked a little boy down the street. He said, can you direct me to the post office, please? So the boy told him how to get to the post office. And then Billy Graham said, if you come to my meeting tonight, which is in this particular place, then I'll show you how to get to heaven. The boy replied, no, thank you. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Okay. Praise God. Well, this morning I want to speak to you on the subject of, and my title is this. We have been talking about the subject of arising and building. Let's arise and build. And I spoke from Nehemiah last Sunday. And I think there's a call to the church to rise up from where we are and to start building the kingdom of God. And so my title today is Actions Speak Louder Than Words. How many know that? Actions speak louder than words. And so last week we studied a man called Nehemiah who was called to the Jews. And he was a Jew himself and he was called to build the walls of Jerusalem. And he got all the people together under a common purpose. And that was to build the walls because the walls were in ruins. And so he thought, this is not good for the house of God. The temple was there, but the walls were all broken down. And so he got people together, and the Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 that they had a mind to build. They put their hands to the work, and they had a heart to work. And so I'm praying this morning that we, as we come together, that we'll have a mind and a mindset to build the kingdom of God. And that we'll want to put our hands to the plow and not turn back, but put our hands to the plow and move forward. Because how many know that when we put our hands to the plow and when we move forward, the plow, when it plows a field, it doesn't know what's in that field, but whatever is there, it turns it upside down. It turns it over. That's what a plow does, correct? And so when we put our hands to the plow, it's not going to be an easy ride, but we know that whatever it's in the way, so long as we don't look back and we look forward, we can expect that plow to turn whatever thing that's in our way. And so the secret is never to look back and to move backwards, but to move forwards, because the plow in our hands is powerful, and we have that with us today. And so I mentioned also that we are living in a broken world. How many know that? You look around us, the world ain't fixed at all. Many people think that it's fixed. Many people think that through scientific knowledge and the advancement of science and technology, that things are getting better. But really? Are they getting better? I was listening to someone who was saying how we are being programmed gradually to accept the mark of the beast. I was listening to that, how we are programmed. You know, because he puts it in this way. He says we got to be so careful because we started with passwords. Now we have fingerprints on our thing, okay? So he was talking about how the world system is telling us you can make things easier You can have voice commands now. You can now show your eyes on a screen and you are recognized and all your data is held in that. How many have come through the airports recently? If you have a modern passport, you can now go through the gate and you open your eyes and you look in the camera there and they see your iris there. Is this iris? Yeah. And they know it's you. Wow. Is that amazing? So things are changing and people are thinking the world's getting better. But we know we're in a broken world. Why? We see family breakdown all around us. We see people having gender confusions. People do not know who they are, whether they are a boy or a girl, a man or a woman anymore. There are gender confusions today. There are rebellious attitudes that, you know, you wonder how come children and people are so rebellious in their lives today. There's intolerance. People are in a hurry all the time. They have no patience to wait a bit. They're always in a hurry. You see that on the roads if you're a driver. It's classic, isn't it? People don't want to stay in traffic. They know they can't get anywhere. They know there's a line of cars in front of them, but they somehow toot that up. Bam, bam, bam. Come on, get out of the way. As if somehow, magically, these cars are all going to move. And he's going to have a clear way for him to move forward. So we are living in such a society. And I mentioned that it's time for us to quit talking and do some doing. The quicker we start doing, the more people will understand who we really are. People are coming out of their own closets these days. They're coming out and they're revealing themselves as to who they are. I mentioned last week that as Christians, it's time for us to come out of our closets and reveal to the world as to who we really are. Why? Because we carry a message of love, a message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, a message that brings life, that transforms lives. We carry that in us. We have a message to give to people. We are called to build. We are called to work as a team. What did I say team was? Together, everyone achieves more. We had a fantastic example of that last Tuesday when we all came together for the Kids Streets party. A fantastic example of teamwork. Together, everyone achieved more. People were blessed when they came to this house. There was action. We were not just talking about having a good time. We actually showed people that we do know how to give people a good time. We showed people how they could have a great party. So we were a church that were active. We got into some action on the 31st of October. And you know something? We had opportunities to meet with people and get to know people better. They got something from us. And that's why we do what we do. Because we will have something that we have in us that we want to share with other people. And that's what compels us. Otherwise, we could just stay in our own homes and do our own thing and not be bothered about the world that is going to a lost eternity. But we can't do that because we know something in us. We have experienced the power of God in us. We have experienced the love of God in us so much so that it can't contain it. It has to flow out. We have experienced it. Our lives have changed as a result of knowing Jesus Christ. And we cannot keep it to ourselves. We've got to tell people, look, you don't need religion today. You don't need any sort of philosophical arguments today. All you need is Jesus Christ. And he will sort out the mess. Because he came into a messed up world. And he died on the cross for a messed up people. And he said from the cross, he said, Father, forgive these messed up people because they do not know what they're doing. That's how much Jesus loves us. That in spite of ourselves, he still loves us. You know, it's great to lead a church of doers. And I'm so proud to lead a group of people who really want to do something in the kingdom of God. We are a church. We have a testimony, and our testimony is about Jesus. Our witness is of Jesus. We witness about Jesus. We, the church, we are the face of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you are the face of Jesus. So make sure your face looks good. Make sure your face is smiling all the time. Because you are the face of Jesus. It's so true, isn't it? Before people come to know Jesus, they get to know you first. And they will know how good Jesus is when they know how good you are. Because you are the witness, you are the testimony, you are the face of Jesus. And when our sayings match our doing, then people know that we are genuine. When our saying matches our doing, then the people know that this is the real deal. We are not just faking it, but we are doing what we are actually saying. So, why are actions so important? The first point is this. Because our actions will demonstrate that we are children of the light and we are called to live in the light of God. We are children of the light. Our actions will demonstrate that. We can keep shouting and shouting, we are children of the light, we are children of the light. But if we still maintain the things in the dark, if you're still hiding, if you're living secretive lives, there ain't no light in darkness. How many know that? Light always dispels darkness. You cannot bring darkness into light. The light always overcomes darkness. Isn't that right? Always overcomes it. God sent His Son into this world. And Jesus Himself declared in John chapter 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Have a look at that scripture. He said this. He is the light of the world. He said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, I am is one of those I ams that Jesus mentions about himself. And when you talk about the I am, that's timeless. From the very beginning of time, up to the very time that Jesus spoke these words, He was, He is, and He is to come. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, and forever Jesus is the same. He is the I am. There is no limit in time there. There's no limit in space there. He is very present now as He was very present 2,000 years ago. And He will be very present in the second coming when He comes again for a church that is prepared to receive Him. Can you see that? When you follow Jesus, you will not walk in darkness. One of the things that we can test ourselves is that the way we know that we are following Jesus is when our lives are not hidden. We are not hiding things in our lives. There is no sin in our lives. Everything is exposed by the Word of God, by the light of Jesus Christ. And if there is something that's hidden, if there is something that is of sin in our lives, if we have to hide our faces, if you're doing things secretly, then we can surely understand and know that the light is not in us. Because the light and darkness cannot mix. The light always overcomes darkness. Can you see that? Now this might for some, you know, be a bit, oh, really? Oh, you know, but I like to dabble a bit here and there. There's no dabbling when you're in the light. And sometimes, you know, we sort of sugarcoat Christianity and say it's okay, you know, you can still mess around a bit. You know, God will always forgive you because He's a God of love and compassion, and we bring all that and we fail to recognize and teach and say, no, actually, God requires righteousness. God requires holiness. in all of his love and compassion, God's desire is for holiness and righteousness, that God's people will not walk in darkness, but they will walk in the light. Jesus, he is the source of exclusive light. There is no other light that can illuminate us except the light of Jesus Christ. Except Jesus Christ himself, no other source can enlighten us. Many people call us or look for enlightenment. But the only source of enlightenment comes through Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who left his glory, left everything he had. He came down, he lived like you and I. And he died on the cross for you and I. He took upon himself our sin, our pain, our sickness, our diseases. He took everything pertaining to mankind upon himself and he died. And not only did he die, but the grave could not hold him. Hallelujah. But he rose again. There is no relic of Jesus anywhere to be found. There is a cloth that wrapped him up, but there is no relic. There is no bone. There is no tooth. There is nothing else that you can find of Jesus. Why? Because he rose again triumphantly, and he's coming back for a church that is ready to receive him. Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah to that. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The very nature and character of Jesus is that he is the light of his truth. He is the light of his truth. This truth that we read in the Word of God talks about Jesus. He is the light of his truth. And he is the light of his word. He is the light of eternal life. It is centered around Jesus. Everything centers around Jesus. We sing a song sometimes in this place. We say, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. And that's how it is. Jesus is at the center of everything. We know that the worlds were created by Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus. Colossians tells us that. Those who receive the true light will never walk in spiritual darkness. Those who receive the true light of Jesus Christ can never walk in spiritual darkness. Many people are blinded today, spiritually blinded. The enemy has twisted them so badly. They cannot see the truth in the Word of God. They cannot see the truth at all. And they are deceived so much today. It's so sad that there is truth in the Word of God. There is hope in the Word of God. There is eternal life in Christ Jesus. They can change. God can change us. God can change a life. But the enemy has distorted it so much that people think, I'd rather believe in science than believe in the reality of God. And that's what is happening in today's world. People would rather believe science, billions of years of the earth, than believe that God actually created this earth, the heavens, the earth, and all that we see around us. The believer will always tend toward spiritual things. He will always tend toward fellowship that's coming together. He will always tend towards the Word of God. Always want to read the Word of God. A believer will always want to read from the Word of God. The unbeliever will always do the opposite. Look at John 1 and verse 5. John's Gospel. Turn with me to John's Gospel. Chapter 1 and verse 5. Is it up there? Oh, good. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the light. Look at chapter 3 of John's Gospel, 19 and 20. Chapter 3, 19 and 20. Tells us this, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Isn't that sad? Jesus Christ himself appeared to mankind. He was living and walking amongst them, but because of their evil ways, they could not see who Jesus really was. They would rather stick to their evil ways. And even today in our society, you know, we can preach, we can teach, we can share the love of Jesus. But sadly, the enemy has blinded people so much that they would rather live in their sin and practice their evil ways than turn to the living Christ, the Son of the living God. What does it say? And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. It's in red in my Bible, and that's what Jesus is actually saying. All who do evil, they hate the light. They refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. Some people are afraid to come to church as well, which they should come to church, because they feel, oh, my sins will be exposed. God will find me. God will find me, and God surely will find you, because that's what he does. He finds you in your sinful state because he loves you. That's why he finds you. Isn't that amazing? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. While we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. What a beautiful gospel we have. Light exposes evil. Jesus says in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Hallelujah. Isn't that an amazing word that Jesus gives? What a promise. What an invitation. Whoever, does that mean whoever? Whoever comes to Jesus will never be cast out, will never be disappointed. Ask somebody who has come to Jesus. They have never been disappointed. Have we? Those of us who know Jesus Christ, have we been disappointed by coming to him? We haven't. Have we been cast out? No, we have always been accepted. We may have messed up in our lives because none of us are perfect. Neither am I. But in my mess, I can still come to Jesus. And I can say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry I did this. I've done terrible things. I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me. And you know what Jesus does? He forgives you. He forgives me. Why? Because love overcomes a multitude of sins. Love does it. When our children do things that are inappropriate, do we still love them? Yes, we do. Why? Because of love. Because they are our children. Does God love us the way we are? Yes, he does. Why? Because we are his children. He's not looking at the mess that we are in. He's looking at the person that we are going to become when we come to know Jesus. Hallelujah. People are looking for a purpose. They're looking for somewhere to belong. The second one point that I want to say here this morning is the act of our togetherness will show that we share life together and have fellowship with one another. The world will know who we really are when we are together. They need to see that the church is together. Too many times people see church so fragmented. It's so sad because we have got into our different sects. You know, we call ourselves, I am this, I am this, I am this, I'm an Anglican, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a this, I'm a that. And we have somehow put ourselves in boxes and segregated ourselves, which is so sad. We are one body, we are one head, and that is Jesus. There aren't 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 bodies around. There's one body. But we have fragmented ourselves purely because of our own desires and what we want to see happen. But when we have Jesus, our coming together can only happen through Jesus. He's the common denominator. We can come together when we agree on the Word of God. If there's disagreement in the Word of God, there cannot be a togetherness. We've got to agree that the Word of God is true. That the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is able to change our hearts and our lives. Jesus is our common denominator. You can go around the world and you can come under one banner, and that is Jesus. We might have our differences, but if we can come under one banner, under the name of Jesus, we can all be united under Jesus. To come together, we got to get out of our religious stuff, because religion holds us bound. How many know that? Religion binds people, but Jesus sets you free. Religion binds you, but Jesus sets you free, because he came to break down all those structures, to just bring that simplicity of that freedom that we have in Christ. Hallelujah. There must be unity, not disunity, in the body of Christ. Sadly, the world sees a disunited church. People devouring one another, putting down one another, neglecting one another, having various differences in outlook and purpose. But that should not be. People are looking for purpose. People are looking for a place to belong. People want that togetherness. People are looking for that unity. Let's make our environment a place where people can come, where they can connect, where they can belong. See, John the Apostle, he was an eyewitness for Jesus. He was there when Jesus was walking this earth and talking. And he writes in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 3 to 4. And he says this. He says, "We announce to you what we have seen and what we have heard. We do it so you can share life together with us." Why is he doing it? So that we can share life together with them who have seen Jesus and they have heard Jesus. Because they want that life, that light to shine and to be shared with each and every person. And he says, "We share this life with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing this to make our joy complete." You know, when people come to faith in Jesus, there is joy. There is joy when people come to faith in Jesus. The third point is this: our act of our speech. What are we saying? What we say matters. Because contained in our speaking, in our tongue, there is life and there is death. What are we saying in public? Are they hearing critical words, condemning words? Or are we like the media, for example, jumping for any bad story? Let's go for the bad stories. How many know the media love a bad story? They hardly publish a good one, but there are loads of bad ones. Or are we looking to edify, to encourage, to build, to bless? What's coming out of our mouth? Look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says this in this translation: "Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders." Use your heads, in other words, be wise. Be wise when you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. We try not to miss a trick. We try and use every opportunity we can to introduce people to Jesus. That's why we did the Kids Streets Party. We want somehow, in some way, for people to come and catch something of the nature and the love of Jesus. We meet on Sundays. Why? Because we don't want to miss a trick. We want people to come and experience the love of Jesus. We do our carol service. They're doing it on the 16th of December. Why do we do that? Because we want people to come and experience the love of Jesus. That's why we do what we do. And that's what it says here. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Tell your neighbor, make the most of every opportunity. Then the next line says this, be gracious in your speech. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not to put them down, nor cut them out. Not to put them down, nor cut them out. That's the purpose of our conversation, is to bring out the best in people. The next point, the fourth point is this. Our act of praying should demonstrate to the world who we really are. Are we earnestly praying for one another? Are we interceding for our community? As you know, we are meeting on Wednesdays. We meet even, I think, is it this Thursday? This Thursday we have Touching Heaven. Why are we doing that? I can take some time off. I would love to stay at home. I would love to put my feet up. Why am I doing that? Because I'm calling the church to say, come on, church, we just need to pray. We need to get together. There's a world that is dying and hurting around us. And if we as Christians don't gather together, and if we are not seeing it, we are not catching the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is for people who are out and about, who are lost in sin. We got to catch the heart of God. We say, God, what is your will? God, show me your will. God, please show me your will. That's the will of God, that everyone should come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's will. You want something to hold on to under God's will? Then come and let's pray together. That's God's will, that we pray together. You read that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you will see that. And I spoke about that at the beginning of this year. We got to pray for our people. We've got to pray for our nation. We've got to pray for our community. Are we willing to stay up an hour? Are we willing to stay up for 2 hours and earnestly pray for salvation of souls? Periodically, I get WhatsApp messages from Pastor Peter Palani. How many remember him? A good friend in India who's pioneering so many churches there and working amongst such poor people. You know, they fast and pray, and it makes me feel so ashamed. Every time he says, Pastor, we have been fasting and praying all night. Not once. Many times. Fasting and praying. We've just come out of fasting and praying. Have you seen those? I need to send it to you. I'll send it on the WhatsApp group. You need to see that. It talks to me. God, I said, Lord, help me to fast and pray. I speak to myself. These are people who are fasting and they're praying for a change in their community, for God to do something. Church, the time has come for us to pray, earnestly pray for the salvation of souls. I know it's easy to put, we are tired, we want to put our feet up, we want a bit of a rest. But unless we get together, and unless we pray, nothing's going to change. It's our responsibility. God's positioned us here. He's put us here on this earth for that purpose, is to pray for the salvation of souls. Why? Because the enemy has blinded people so badly. They cannot see the love of Jesus. They walk in darkness. They're totally unaware of Jesus, the light of the world. If they knew, we wouldn't have this mess that we are in. But they don't know. Sometimes they don't know that they are in a mess themselves. Look at Colossians 4 and verse 2. It says this. It says, give a lot of time. Give a lot of time to what? An effort to prayer. Give a lot of time to effort, an effort to prayer. Always be watchful and thankful. Always be watchful. Always be thankful. I tell you, if we can just take that scripture and if we can apply that and say, always I'm going to be thankful, we'll have a better outcome in our lives. Try that for a week and say, I'm going to be thankful no matter how I feel. I'm still going to say, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. Thank you, Jesus, for what I do. You know, sometimes we complain at the jobs that we do, but thank God we have a job to go to. You can talk to people who are trying to get jobs. It's so difficult today to get a job. How many know that? Be thankful that you have a job that you can go to. The more you're thankful for your job, the more you'll be blessed in your job. The more you'll have a better outcome in your job, because people like thankful people. People like happy people in their places of work. They don't like miserable people. How many like to work with a miserable person? They don't. You like to work with someone who is happy, who is smiling, who has a positive outlook in life. Jesus, with Jesus, you always have a positive outlook, as we heard earlier. Why? Because God has said, the plans I have for you are good plans. You believe that? You got to then speak it out. You got to act it out. You got to live it out. And say, God, you have a good plan for me. It is not for evil. It is for what? It is for a future. And it's for a hope. There's a hope in Christ Jesus. There's a hope in Christ Jesus. What is hope? It is that anxious anticipation. It is that anticipation, an expectation that something good's going to happen, that something joyful is going to happen. That's the meaning of hope. Jesus loves us. He has a his desire is to have a relationship with us. He wants to give us life, not just ordinary life, but life to the full. That's what Jesus wants to do. I know we all want to see this place full, don't we? How many want to see this place full? How many want to see all these chairs occupied? How many want to see people standing outside wanting to come in? I know I do. I come with that expectation, say, God, I want to see this house full of people coming to know Jesus. You know how that's going to come? Through us getting together and through us praying and storming heaven and calling upon the name of the Lord. Because we know that scripture that we often read, that if we humble ourselves before God, it's in Chronicles, isn't it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If we humble ourselves and we pray, and if we, and seek His face, then God will hear from heaven. He will heal first. There it is. Oh, good. And if we turn from our wicked ways, we forget that bit. But we're going to turn from our wicked ways. We are good at the rest, but we forget to read that bit there. Turn from their wicked ways. Then God says, I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. Do you want our land healed? Church, let's come together. Let's get rid of those wicked ways that we might think we can get away with. Let's put it aside. Let's cast it out. Say, God, I'm serious about you. Jesus knows the worst about you, and yet he believes the best. He knows the worst about you, but yet he believes the best. Why? Because he sees you not as you are, but he sees you as his child when he gets through with you. He sees you as his child. He's an amazing friend. He has a great future for us as his children. We can trust him. His plans are for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. You know what? Jesus listens to every prayer. Every prayer that you pray, God listens. He knows. We might think sometimes, God, you're not here. You're not there. You don't even know I'm here. You don't even listen to me. But God hears every prayer that you pray. He may not bring the answer at the time that you want it, because God in his wisdom knows when at the right time to bring the answer. Because if he brought the answer at the wrong time, it would crush us. We won't be able to bear it. I mean, give a highly technical job to me. It'll get nothing out of me. You know, it's like that. You know, sometimes we ask for things. We want God to do things in our lives. And God says, actually, you're not ready for it. You put me in front of that amazing computer. You know, I will just look at it. I can do emails. You know, a few bits, other pieces. But he asked me to go into the system and change things. I haven't a clue. I had to ask Michael. You know, sometimes we are like that with God. God, we want things from God. But God says, hang on a moment. You ain't ready for it yet. Wait on me. So read my word. Come together, pray. And at the right time, I will when you're ready. And sometimes we got to wait in prayer before the Lord. The question is this. Do we want to know this Jesus? Do we really want to know this Jesus? Let's all stand this morning. Do we want to know Jesus? Jesus loves you. He desires to have a relationship with you. And this morning, if you're in a place where you're thinking, actually, I've heard what you said. It kind of makes sense. But I don't know how to receive Jesus. How do I ask this Jesus into my life? You know, God has made it so easy that sometimes we miss the very point that God was trying to make by sending Jesus Christ. And all it takes is, as the Bible says, you believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose up from the dead, that Jesus is Lord, and the Bible tells us that we are saved. You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. The Bible tells us that you are saved from what? From sin. What is sin? Is to miss the mark of God's best in your life. Today, God can restore you. We had that word this morning that Anne brought. God is a God of restoration. He can take any mess, any brokenness in our lives, and He can mend it. He can fix it. He's the only God, He's the only Lord who is able to go into our past. We can't go back into our past, can we? We can't go back, but Jesus can. And He can wipe that slate clean. He can clean it up, all the past in our lives. He can do it. Why? Because He died on the cross for that purpose. He can do it. And He can wipe our slates clean. God promises us a future and a hope. You want hope this morning? You can find it in Jesus. And if you really want to pray this prayer with me today, if you really want to find Jesus today, if you want your past to be taken care of, your life wiped clean, slate wipe clean, you want a new beginning in life, Jesus can do it. I can't, but Jesus can. Because He loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. He's brought you here today because He loves you. He wants you to have a future and a hope. Don't be disheartened. Don't be worried today as you stand today in God's presence. God has a future and a hope for you. Because He loves you. He wants you to have the best. And if you want to pray this prayer with me, you can pray it right now. You can say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. I'm sorry, God, for the things that I've done wrong in my life. I ask you, God, to forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for setting me free from my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. I believe you are Jesus. I believe you are my Lord and my Savior. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me new. Remove my past. Make it all new, Jesus. And Jesus, be with me always, because you promised that. To never leave me, Jesus. You will never forsake me. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, I just want you to come and talk to me afterwards. Just say, you know, Sam, I prayed that prayer. And all I want to do is encourage you and give you something that you can take with you. Like the Bible. You can take a Bible, give it free. So you can read it. That God can speak to you through His Word. Let's sing that song, Light of the World. You came down. You stepped down into darkness. You opened my eyes. You let me see. And Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am, O God, to bow down. Here I am to say that God, you are my Lord.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see.
Beauty.
Beauty that made this heart adore. You're my God. You're